Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And let me be the first to say to you, good morning from 93.7 The Fan. I'm Matt Cole here with you. It is The Fan early morning show. We're live and local at 5 a.m. from our Green Tree studios, and I am so excited to be able to start this show with you, to be the first on the air talking sports. This is just such an exciting moment for me and for the station, and we're ready to go. It's the start of a new day, and it's brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, as it's 5:03 on your Tuesday after Labor Day. If you don't know me, I'm Matt Cole. I normally produce The Fan Morning Show, the producer, and I'm excited to get this thing started and hit the road here. And I grew up in Pittsburgh. I'm from Shaler. I love this city. I love this city's teams, and I love the passion that this city has for its teams. And so I'm ready to get started into talk sports with you every morning and to get the day started for us. And we're going to have some fun on this show. So we'll set up what this show is going to be here weekly before The Fan Morning Show. And it's going to be an extension of The Fan Morning Show in some ways, and in some ways it's not going to be. I say that because it's going to be an extension of The Fan Morning Show because I think we're going to have some fun on this show. Listen, you're up early, especially this early at 5 o'clock in the morning. It sucks to wake up this early. It doesn't matter if you're a morning person. I'm not really a morning person, as ironic as that is to be producing a morning show and not be a morning person. It doesn't matter if you like to get up that early or not. It's 5 a.m. It's early for everybody, and you come here to be entertained and to talk sports and to listen to some sports takes, and so we're going to provide that for you. And I also have a Grammy Helen that I like to talk about sometimes that, you know, I like to visit every once in a while. I've also been known to run some half marathons, and I like to take a couple of trips to Cuba every year. You know, I like lime chips and stuff like that. And no, I'm just kidding. We don't want to be in that realm. We're getting away from all of that. And actually, that'll be the last joke that we go for Amy Lawrence, because I think she's actually a nice person. We actually met her in studio about, you know, 2 months ago, and you know, we'll keep those jokes to ourselves. But we have a humongous game to preview. Let's get right into the sports. Week one, baby. New England Patriots. The Steelers have a great chance to start the season off right on Sunday night. And, you know, I thought about this for a while in preparation for this show. And I thought to myself, do I really want to be this guy to start off a show, the first segment of a show, and go with this take? And the more that I looked at it, the more I just couldn't deny it. I think the Steelers have a great chance to win Sunday night. I really, really do. And that might be, go against every thinking of a rational person out there that looks at this game against the Patriots and thinks that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to come into Gillette Stadium and get a win to start the season. A rational person might say that the Patriots have been to 8 straight AFC title games, which they have. A rational person might say they have the greatest quarterback of all time, a 6-time Super Bowl winner, the greatest coach of all time, arguably a 6-time Super Bowl winner. And they might also cite and look at the fact that the Steelers are 0-5 against the Patriots in New England in the Brady Belichick era. Those are all facts. Those are all things going into this matchup that are against the Steelers and that make you think, listen, man, I know there's some changes in New England, but the Steelers just don't go into Foxborough and get the win. You can't honestly pick the Steelers for this game. But here's why I think the Steelers are going to win this game in New England to start the season. And the first thing, if you look at, are the Patriots start to seasons for the past 3 years. So let's take a look at it. In 2016, They started off the season 3-1 in September. They lost to Buffalo, and that was a bad loss to a bad Bills team, and that was at home. Okay, it gets better from here. 2017, the Patriots went 2-2 in September. They lost 42-27 in that home opener against Kansas City, coming off celebrating that Super Bowl against Atlanta. 42-27, KC, with Alex Smith. That was before Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith came into Foxborough and beat them 42-7. And then last year in 2018, they started off the season 1-2. So history tells you there that the Patriots get off to a slow start. They have some changes in the offseason. It takes them a little bit to get used to those things as they go forward. And this is a time to meet the Patriots is at the beginning of the season. They're just not clicking on all cylinders as they are late in the year. And we'll get to some numbers that affirm that as well. The second reason why I think the Steelers can win this game against the Patriots are some roster changes for New England. They lost last year's left tackle, and their center, Dave Andrews, he's out with some blood clots. And so they had to make some trades to replace those guys. And so there's a lot of moving parts in that front line for the Patriots. And against a team like the Steelers, who can rush the passer so well, that have led the league in sacks the past two seasons, that doesn't match up well for me. I see that as a great area of being able to expose the Patriots. And also on the defensive side of the ball, Malcolm Brown and Trey Flowers, their leading sacker, are gone from last year. And so there's some change over there. So this is not the same roster. Although it may still be deep, this is not the same roster as the Patriots had going into last year and what they won the Super Bowl with. And there's also some controversy in the secondary with Patrick Chung. He got caught with cocaine, so who knows when that's going to go down and when all the court cases will be settled there, and that's going to be looming over their head at least to start the season. And the third reason why I think the Steelers have a great chance to win this game on Sunday, and this cannot be overlooked, is that there's no Rob Gronkowski. Have you realized how dominant Rob Gronkowski has been against the Steelers? Seven games, 41 catches, 685 yards, 8 touchdowns in just 7 games against the Steelers. If you average that out over those 7 games, that's 6 catches for 98 yards and a touchdown. You just can't deny those numbers. Rob Gronkowski was a monster against the Steelers. And Cam Hayward even knows this and talked about it this week.
He's got Super Bowls. He's one of the best tight ends ever. And I don't know how you replace that, but thank God he's not there.
He's not there. Thank God he is not there. And Cam Hayward wasn't even the guy to cover him most times, but he knows the damage that Rob Gronkowski can do. I don't think it can be overplayed or overstated enough what that loss will mean to the Patriots. Now, on the flip side of that, it's Bill Belichick. He'll find a way to replace Rob Gronkowski's production. I have no doubt about that. In the end, they probably won't miss Rob Gronkowski as much as people think, because Belichick's a genius, because Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. But I will say, I don't think it happens right away. I think they'll need time to figure out what their other targets are and how they're going to replace that production that Gronkowski gave them. How are they going to use Edelman more? Is Josh Gordon even going to stay on the field this year for them? There's a lot of different targets. They drafted a receiver early in this draft, and Keel Harry. So there's moving parts there even on the offense, and I don't think that replacement for Gronk comes right away. And so if you look at the numbers, you look at all the different things that are going for the Patriots here, all the different changes, and you look at the history here, the past 3 years, the Patriots are just a different team in September than they are in December. And especially if you look at the numbers from December the past 3 years. In 2016, they were 7-1 in November and December, and that was including 10 straight wins to win the Super Bowl against Atlanta in 16. In 17, again, 7-1 in November and December. In 18, Their only loss in December came to the Steelers at Heinz Field, and that was the last loss of the season. They're just a different team in September, and this is the perfect time to beat them and beat them at home. If there's ever a time the Steelers are going to get over the hump and do this, they're 0-5 against the Brady Belichick era at Foxborough. It's this week, and I think it might be coming their way. And so I'm going to open up with that take to start us this morning. When we come back, I have a segment here to kind of wrap up things of what happened last night in the sports world that I think you'll enjoy. We'll do that next, coming after the break. It's the start of a new day, and it's brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, and this is the Fan Early Morning Show. I'm Matt Cole here with you till 5:40 when we get started with the Fan Morning Show pre-show, followed by the morning show proper from 6 to 10. And we're going to do this segment here in the middle of the show moving forward. And we'll get some sounders. We'll get this all specced up moving forward. But we're going to call this While Yins Were Sleeping. And we're going to go through and just kind of round up the sports news and what happened from last night that you might not have been up for. It's very early right now. And if there is something on at 8:30, you probably didn't catch the end of it. And so we're going to review that here in this segment. And with the Pirates off last night, there wasn't a whole lot going on in the sports world. But what was on, and if you were sleeping, you really missed out on one of the greatest traditions in America. And that is rooting against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Unless, of course, you are a Irish loyalist. But in my case, it's rooting against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And they took on the Louisville Cardinals last night, and it was really a great first half of action. I thought there were exciting offenses on both sides. It was a great atmosphere in Louisville for that game. It went back and forth to start. I thought Notre Dame really got off to a slow start under quarterback Ian Book, and the Louisville offense just kept keeping Notre Dame off balance. And their quarterback, who looks a lot like Lamar Jackson, and how about his name is Juwan Pass as a quarterback. It was 14-14 back and forth to begin the game. I thought the turning point there was there at one point there were back-to-back-to-back fumbles. If there isn't a sign of week one in college football, then back-to-back-to-back fumbles. I don't know what is, but that sequence happened before the first half ended, and it was 14-all. And so Louisville got the ball back at Notre Dame, around the 30-yard line for Notre Dame with about a minute 10 left. And I thought Louisville could have at least tried to score, put a field goal up before the half, and that would have really taken the momentum out of the game because they had Notre Dame right where they wanted them. It was a tie ball game. They're number 9 in the country, the Fighting Irish are, and they were taking it to them in that first half. But instead, they fumbled the ball right back to Notre Dame, and Ian Book ended up rushing for a touchdown to make it 21-14 at the half. And then it was over from there as Notre Dame got the win 35-21. And I couldn't help but watching the Louisville offense to see the Ravens offense with Lamar Jackson this year, what the potential could be there for them, because there was a lot of play action. It was a lot of RPOs. And I feel like whenever Coach John Harbaugh says that he's going to change the NFL, he's going to change the league with the offense that he's going to bring to the table for the Ravens this year, I got to believe it looks a lot like what Louisville put on display last night. And that's not just because Lamar Jackson played there, although I couldn't help but to see Lamar Jackson and Juwan Pass last night. But if those concepts work in the NFL, I think it can at least provide an opportunity for that offense to keep defenses off balance. And it scares me a little bit to think about the possibilities of that and what it presents for the Steelers as they face them, obviously, in the division twice a year. Those different looks that they can provide, man, it is a little bit scary. And by the way, Phil Jakovic, I think he has a while to go behind Ian Book. And even though Book got off to a slow start, he ended up coming through there at the end. 193 passing yards and 81 rushing yards on the night, and he was a dual threat. I didn't think he had that kind of athleticism, but it was a first half in which it gave you hope that Notre Dame might fall in another big game as the number 9 team in the nation. But eventually they got the win and got it over Louisville 35-21. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I have some post-mortem, I guess, Pitt thoughts on the loss from Saturday, as well as Ben Roethlisberger. He sat down nationally with ESPN and had something very interesting to say about one former Steeler in particular that I think he is right on. And I also have some thoughts about Joe Haden and possibly if we can get to it. I don't want to rag on the Pirates, especially after they just completed a four-game sweep of the Rockies, but I saw three signs over the weekend of why the Pirates have a development problem and they just can't deny it any further. Three signs of that, and also a question of the day. That's all coming for you in the next segment after this break. It is the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It is the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. I'm Matt Cole here with you till 5:40 before the pre-show for the Fan Morning Show. And I had something affirmed to me this weekend in just the result of the Pitt game and how it went at Heinz Field on Saturday. Obviously, a disappointing loss for the Panthers, 30-14, loss to Virginia. And it was something that I had feared going in, is that Pitt in a new offense under Mark Whipple would look kind of disjointed and disoriented. And I think largely that's what happened on Saturday. But more affirmed this weekend were that just scrolling through Twitter on Saturday night after the game, that Pitt fans are just incredibly cynical. I mean, my goodness, it's week one and people are acting like the season is over. I understand what that loss meant, and I understand the history of Pitt. I mean, I've been a Pitt fan all my life. I've seen the Youngstown State losses. I've seen the UNC losses each of the past, feels like, 15 years, even when they don't have another ACC win. I understand the letdowns of Pitt football, trust me. But the takes on Twitter that Kenny Pickett isn't going to make it, that this Pitt offense is a disaster under Whipple, that the defense can't ever get a stop when they need it, some of those things are true, and that the Pitt Panthers are headed for another five-win season. All of it might be true. And I think there's a good possibility that Pitt only wins six or seven games this year. But man, you take the cynicism of Pirate fans, okay? When things start to go awry, maybe they've had a good first half of the year, they're rolling through June, maybe they have a winning record, they're five games above 500, and then there's that Clint Hurdle drop off, that collapse that we've seen so many times and that we're seeing this year, we're in the midst of this year, and the cynical Pirate takes that are around, and there, a lot of them are warranted, but you take that cynicism and you just ramp it up three levels, and that's what Pitt fans are after one loss to begin the season. It's just everything is just so black and white with Pitt fans. Very little reasonable takes out there, but to provide a reasonable take, and there's not much else he can say after the game, Pat Narduzzi on the loss to Virginia.
A lot of self-inflicted wounds as far as what we did, not what they did. You don't look at it and go, wow, we just got overplayed or outmatched. It was just carelessness, I would say, on our part. Just details that, you fail to get done.
Yeah, a couple of things stuck out to me from this game. It's just a sloppier performance from Pitt, I thought. They just couldn't get, like Pat Narduzzi said, couldn't get into rhythm. To start the game, Kenny Pickett, 1 for 7 for 3 yards. That's obviously not how you want to start that ball game. And I thought overall, he looked a little nervous back there. And that is the one thing that I am concerned about moving forward for Pitt football, is that the progression, how you want to see Kenny Pickett move in the pocket, how you want to see him make big throws down the field in key situations and lead this team maybe out from a slow start to a ball game, and to stay in the game moving forward in a game like Virginia to start off the year, an ACC opponent. I didn't see a whole lot of that. Now, I don't think his offensive line helped him very much. I thought they were probably the sloppiest unit on the field. And Pickett took some shots and held on to the ball for a long time. But that progression there, you just haven't seen it yet. And you start to wonder, Is Kenny Pickett really going to be the guy that's going to lead them over the hump? Can they get over the hump, that 5-7, 6-6, 7-5 hump with Kenny Pickett? I'm not sure. And another thing that loss says to me is that beating Ohio, the favorite to win the MAC next week in an 11 o'clock start, which I don't know why that's happening at Heinz Field, but that is a must win now. I mean, you cannot afford to win or to lose that game, especially with Penn State coming on the way, with the ACC schedule, and with a game against UCF as well. A must win for the Panthers next week in week two. A must win as in terms of if they want to go after that Coastal Division championship again, you just can't lose to Ohio at 11 o'clock on Saturday. Also want to get to this. Ben Roethlisberger, he sat down with ESPN Sal Palantonio, and if you haven't heard the news yet, Ben will not be joining the station on Tuesday mornings at 11 this season. He's going to just kind of stay away from that part of his media interaction, I guess, for this year, and he's been applauded for doing so nationally as some kind of sign of leadership there. But he sat down with Sal Palantonio, and Sal Pal asked him about Antonio Brown, of course. And Brown saying that they were never friends whenever Ben came on Sunday night before the third preseason game on NBC and said, you know, I wish I wouldn't have said those things on my radio show about Antonio Brown because it ruined a friendship. And of course, you know, that's a warranted question to ask Ben. And I thought Ben came up with the perfect response. And I really hope it stays like this throughout the entire season. And he said, you know what? I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm over it. I'm completely over it. I've moved past it. And this is exactly how they should be approaching things. If anybody wants to bring up that name, Antonio Brown, or the other one who wore 26 here, Le'Veon Bell, just act like they never existed. Pour into this team. Pour into what is going on with your locker room. It sounds like it's a cliche and it's coach speak, but honestly, in this situation, I think that is the best tactic to take. Don't even give any part of an answer about Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell. Just say, nope, I'm not talking about it. I'm over it. And Ben, man, every time I see him sit down with the media this year, or I see him in a game, I see him interacting with teammates, he's just got something different about him. He just seems laser focused. He's locked in. It reminds me a lot of when Sidney Crosby gets into those modes where he's just singularly focused on winning as many games as possible and as being the best that he can absolutely be for his team and being the best leader that he can be for his team. I see a lot of that in Ben Roethlisberger right now, and that has to give you hope moving forward. Quick thoughts on Joe Hayden. The 3-year, $32 million extension that he signed over the weekend. Obviously, it's a relief for the Steelers fans to have this guy. I think he is a great leader, especially for a young secondary that's still trying to find their way. I think he's a steadying force for just this whole team, and he provides a clear number one in that secondary, and it also cleans up any loose ends that they had coming into the season. The past two seasons, it's been all about contract issues, particularly with Le'Veon Bell. But there was always something hovering over the team that was off the field. Whether AB was acting crazy or Le'Veon Bell was holding out for more money, there was something there that was beyond football. And I think the only thing that was there this year was the Joe Hayden contract. We waited for, I don't know, a month, 2 months, at least a few weeks to see if he was going to get that contract as talks just kept swirling around the situation as we were waiting and waiting for that to happen. And I'm relieved that it finally did happen before the season. And I also thought, in just looking at this secondary, that it highlights how important Steven Nelson is to this defense. If you go beyond Joe Hayden, yes, he's the number one guy. He's clear cut. He's going to follow the number one target. But if Steven Nelson isn't good, and if he plays mostly the way he played in Kansas City in a terrible secondary, the Steelers, I mean, I don't fully trust Cam Sutton, and I don't want to take Mike Hilton out of the nickel. And Justin Lane, the rookie they drafted, showed he isn't ready, clearly, in the preseason. And I'm sorry, but no matter what he showed in the preseason, I just can't feel good about Artie Burns. It is so important for this defense, for Steven Nelson, to be that number two corner behind Joe Haden, or else they're in some serious trouble. The pass rush will be there. I love the speed out of these linebackers. This is a pass rush that, as I mentioned earlier, led the league in sacks the past two seasons, so you have to figure that'll be there for them. But if Steven Nelson flops, it might be a repeat of some of the woes that we saw in that secondary last season. Also, what I want to do to end each show here as we are wrapping up, as we're getting ready for the Fan Morning Show pre-show, I want to leave you with a question of the day, something that you can think about, you can ponder, you can chew on as you move into your workday, or maybe you're coming home from working an overnight shift, or maybe you're going to the gym right now and you're getting ready for your workday. I want to give you a question of the day that you can think about and maybe get the conversation started with your buddies outside of work or your buddies at work. And here it is for today, and we already went over it to start the show today, but I think already on a Tuesday, I think you can start thinking about this because it's Patriots week. Are the Steelers finally ready to beat the Patriots in Foxborough? Something they've never done in the Brady Belichick era. Again, as I mentioned earlier, 0-5 against Brady and Belichick at Gillette Stadium. Is this the year? Do they have enough to beat the Patriots this year? Already starting to think about that on a Tuesday. If you missed any of the show today, you can access it however you normally access the podcast from the station, either the radio.com app or through the podcast app on your phone, or search it in the App Store. Just search the Fan Early Morning Show. Colin Dunlap, Chris Mack, Jim Colony, and the Fan Morning Show, they're on their way, and they feature Steelers insider Ed Bouchette at 7 o'clock, and also The Rock, Pirates broadcaster John Wehner. He's comes on at 9:30. I'd appreciate you listening for the debut show, the Fan Early Morning Show. I promise I'll get better from here. The pre-show is on the way at 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.